Welcome to Crishable Plus Talk. This is Anthony and Kate.
Hey, everyone.
And today we're taking a deep dive into multi-factor authentication.
MFA.
MFA. You got it. That extra layer of security where it takes more than just a password to get in.
Yeah. It's becoming more and more important these days, especially with all the cyber attacks we hear about.
For sure. And we've got this really interesting article from the Hacker News.
Oh, yeah.
Called 4 Ways to Keep MFA from Becoming Too Much of a Good Thing.
I like that title.
It's catchy, right?
Yeah.
And it's not just about setting up MFA, but also looking at some of the trickier parts of actually using it.
Right. Because it's definitely a must-have, but it's not exactly set it and forget it.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So let's break this down a bit. The first thing that stood out to me was the cost. Businesses often see MFA as just another expense.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there are costs involved, you know, subscription fees, employee training, maybe even more help desk calls. But those costs are nothing compared to what a data breach could cost you.
Oh, absolutely. The article says the average data breach last year cost companies over $4
million. $4.88 million, to be exact.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So you think that would be enough to make companies take notice, right?
You'd think so, but sometimes it's tough for decision makers to really see the connection between security investments and, you know, avoiding those big financial hits later on.
It's like they're so focused on saving a few bucks now that they miss the big picture. Kind of like saving money on car insurance and then totaling your car, you end up paying way more in the long run.
That's a perfect analogy. It's about shifting that mindset and seeing security as an investment, not just a cost.
Okay, so we've got the cost factor. Then there's the whole user experience thing. I mean, adding those extra steps to log in can be a pain.
Yeah, nobody likes to wait, right?
Especially when you're trying to get work done. The article mentions single sign-on, or SSO, as one way to help. SSO is basically a system where you log in once, and then you can access a bunch of different applications without having to log in again for each one. So it can be more secure and a lot more convenient if it's done right.
Like a master key for all your apps.
Yeah.
But there's also the need for flexibility with MFA. Not everything needs the same level of security.
Right. Like logging into your computer at the office versus logging in from a coffee shop Wi-Fi. Those are very different situations.
Totally. So it's about assessing the risk and choosing the right level of MFA.
Absolutely.
The article also talks about the implementation headaches.
Mm.
Deploying MFA, especially for companies with a mix of on-premises and cloud systems, can be a real challenge.
Yeah, you've got to think about managing user identities across all these different environments. And sometimes that leads to people having multiple accounts for the same company.
Right. And that just creates more opportunities for something to go wrong.
And then there's scalability. Can the system handle growth? What if your company doubles in size? What if your MFA provider goes down? These are all things to think about up front.
It's like you need a whole separate deep dive just on implementation.
Probably.
But there's another interesting point, offline scenarios. The article points out that a lot of MFA solutions assume you've always got an internet connection.
Which isn't always the case. What about people who travel or work in areas with bad reception or have an internet outage? They still need to be able to work.
So choosing the right MFA system means considering how people actually work in the real world.
Exactly. It has to fit their needs.
And here's the thing. The article makes it very clear that even with MFA in place, there are still vulnerabilities.
That's right. No system is perfect.
Okay, so let's get specific. What are some ways that even MFA can be bypassed?
Well, one example is SMS-based MFA, where you get a code sent to your phone. That's not as secure as it used to be because of these things called SIM swapping attacks. Basically, someone tricks your phone company into transferring your number to a different SIM card, and then they can get those codes.
So it's relying on something that can be compromised. What else?
Another one is push notification fatigue. You get so many notifications these days that you end up just clicking approve without really thinking. An attacker could use that to their advantage.
That's kind of scary, just how easily we can get used to those security prompts.
Then you've got more sophisticated attacks like stealing session cookies. Those are little bits of data that websites use to remember who you are.
Like those things that keep me logged in.
Exactly. If someone gets those cookies, they can potentially impersonate you and bypass MFA.
Okay, that is unsettling. And what about single sign-on? We talked about the benefits, but are there security risks with that too?
There can be. The convenience of SSO means that if someone gets past MFA on one application, they might be able to access all the others connected to it.
So it's a trade-off. Convenience versus a potentially bigger risk.
Right. And it's important to remember that MFA is just one layer of security. It's not a magic solution.
So what's the takeaway here? What should our listeners really understand about MFA.
The big takeaway is that MFA is essential, but it's just one piece of the puzzle. You need a comprehensive strategy with things like monitoring and logging and other security measures to really create a strong defense.
It's about having layers of protection.
Exactly.
So it's not just about implementing MFA. It's about implementing it thoughtfully, understanding its limitations, and making sure it's part of a bigger security plan.
Exactly. And on that note, we're back.
We are back. And I think it's been really eye-opening looking at all these different complexities of MFA.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree. It's not just a simple one-size-fits-all kind of thing, right?
Definitely not. It's more like a whole ecosystem with its own set of challenges and rules and everything.
But before we get lost in the weeds here, I think it's good to remind ourselves why MFA is so important in the first place.
Right.
I mean, we talked about some of the downsides, but let's not forget the good stuff too, right?
Absolutely. We can't lose sight of the forest for the trees.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, MFA is really effective at stopping unauthorized access. It's that extra lock on your door that makes it that much harder to break in.
Yeah, so even if it's not perfect, it's still a huge deterrent for attackers.
Huge. The basic idea is even if your password gets stolen, and unfortunately that happens all the time, they still need that other piece of information to get in.
So it's like having a two-factor lock on your front door. You need both keys to get in.
Exactly. And that second factor can be all sorts of things. It's not just those codes you get on your phone.
Right, right.
There are tons of different MFA methods, each with their own pros and cons. We talked about SMS-based MFA, which is not as secure as it used to be. But you've got things like hardware tokens, those little USB devices that generate codes or authenticator apps on your phone. And of course, there's biometric authentication, like using your fingerprint or your face to log in.
So it sounds like companies and individuals really need to pick the method that makes the most sense for them and their situation.
Absolutely. It all depends on how much security they need, how easy it is for users, and what they're trying to protect.
So many factors to consider.
Yeah. And this brings up another important point from the article, monitoring and logging authentication attempts.
Right. We haven't talked much about that yet. So what's the big deal with monitoring and logging?
Well, imagine you've got MFA all set up, but you're not really keeping track of who's trying to log in and when.
Yeah.
Someone could be trying to hack into your accounts, and you'd never know.
It's like having a security camera, but never checking the footage.
Exactly. Monitoring and logging gives you that visibility.
So you can see what's going on.
Right. You can see if there's any suspicious activity, like someone trying to log in from a weird location or at like 3 a.m.
So you can catch problems before they become huge breaches.
Exactly. It's about being proactive. Plus, it helps you understand how people are using the system so you can spot any patterns and improve your security policies over time.
So it's not enough to just have MFA in place. You need to be actively watching for any signs of trouble.
Right. It's all about continuous improvement.
So having a comprehensive approach to security with MFA as a key part of it.
Absolutely. MFA is powerful, but it's not a magic bullet.
Gotcha.
It needs to be part of a larger security ecosystem to really be effective.
So we need to move away from thinking about MFA as a quick fix and see it as this complex but very important part of the security puzzle.
Yeah.
It's not something you just set and forget. Yeah. You need to pay attention to it and manage it.
You got it. It's an ongoing process. You're constantly learning and adapting and trying to stay one step ahead.
Okay, so we've covered a lot on the technical side of things, but I think it's also important to talk about the human side.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, technology is only as good as the people using it.
That's so true. The human factor is huge in security, and MFA is no different.
The article mentions this, especially when it comes to user experience and training, but I think we should dig a little deeper into this.
Let's do it. Let's talk about some of the challenges we face when it comes to people and MFA.
Yeah, what are those challenges?
Well, one of the biggest ones is user training. You can't just implement MFA and expect everyone to understand how to use it, especially with so many different methods out there.
Right, because some people might be totally fine with using an app on their phone, but others might really struggle with a hardware token, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So the training needs to be tailored to the MFA solution and the technical skills of the users.
And it's not just about teaching them the steps, it's also about explaining the why. Like, why is it important? What are the risks if I don't use it correctly? And how do I spot those phishing attempts or other security threats?
It's about making users active participants in their own security, not just passive recipients of a technical solution.
So it's all about creating that culture of security within an organization or even in your personal life.
Exactly. It's about fostering a shared understanding of best practices, encouraging vigilance, and making it easy to talk about those potential threats.
And when you have that strong security culture in place, MFA becomes less of a burden and more of a collaborative effort to protect valuable data and systems.
Precisely. It's about working together to create a more secure environment.
I think this has been really interesting for me, how we've gone from the technical parts of MFA to this human element.
It's all connected.
It really is.
Technology gives us the tools, but people decide how effective they are.
And as technology continues to evolve, we need to evolve our understanding of that human side of cybersecurity as well.
Absolutely. We need to always be learning, adapting, and figuring out how to bridge the gap between the technical solutions and human behavior.
Well said. This deep dive into MFA has been very insightful. We've explored the complexities, the challenges, and the importance of this really crucial security measure.
And I think the main thing to remember is that MFA is a very powerful tool, but it's not a magic solution.
Right.
It requires planning, continuous monitoring, and a commitment to staying ahead of the curve as the threats change.
And maybe most importantly, it requires us to recognize just how crucial human behavior is in security.
Yeah.
We need to build that culture of security where everyone gets how important MFA is and actively works to protect themselves and the organizations that they're a part of.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, it's been awesome exploring this topic with you.
Likewise.
And a huge thank you to all our listeners for joining us on this deep dive into MFA. We hope you found it useful. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay secure. So we've talked a lot about the technical side of MFA.
Right.
But, you know, it's clear that it's not just about the tech itself.
It's so true. The human factor is huge in all of this, and
yeah.
MFA is no exception.
The article mentions this, especially when it talks about user experience and training. But I think it's worth spending some more time on this human element.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about user training. It's not enough to just roll out MFA and expect everyone to just magically know how to use it.
Especially with all the different methods out there.
Exactly.
Some people might be fine with those authenticator apps, while others might have trouble with a hardware token.
Right. So the training has to be tailored to the specific MFA solution you're using and the technical skills of the people who are going to be using it.
And it's not just about teaching the steps. It's also about getting people to think about security in general.
Absolutely.
Helping them understand why MFA matters, what could go wrong, and how to spot those phishing emails or suspicious links, things like that.
Right. It's about making those users active participants in their own security, not just passive users of some tech solution.
So it's all about creating that culture of security within a company or even just in your personal life.
Exactly. It's about making security everyone's responsibility, not just the IT departments.
So everyone needs to be aware of security best practices.
Right.
Encourage people to be cautious and make it easy for them to report any potential problems.
Exactly. And when you have that culture of security in place, MFA becomes less of a burden and more of a team effort to protect your data and systems.
It's interesting how this conversation has moved from those technical details to this human element.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it is. It's like technology gives us the tools, but we're the ones that make the decisions and use those tools and shape the whole security landscape.
That's a good way to put it.
And as technology changes, we need to keep learning and adapting our approach to security as well.
Absolutely. We've got to constantly be figuring out how to bridge that gap between the technical solutions and human behavior.
This deep dive into MFA has been incredibly helpful. We've covered so much, the technical stuff, the human element. It's a lot.
It really is.
And it's clear that MFA is really complex, no easy answers. But by thinking about it carefully, understanding all the different aspects, and having that holistic security mindset, we can make our digital lives much safer.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, it's been a pleasure exploring this with you.
Likewise.
And a huge thank you to all our listeners for joining us on this deep dive into the world of MFA. We hope you found it informative and engaging. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay secure.